privilege, dear brethren, to come to the beginning of our first discourse for this convention. We have with us Brother Tim Krupa from Portland, Oregon, and he's known to many of the brethren, not that familiar in this area, but we welcome him to the podium now, and he will address us on the subject, Psychology of Sheep. Psychology of Sheep. Brother Tim.
Good morning, dear brethren. It's a pleasure and a joy to see the anticipation on your faces as this convention opens. And I think I can assure Brother Adam and thank him for his words of welcome. That's exactly why we came here, the things that he mentioned. We expect this to be a great oasis this weekend, and we expect to be richly uplifted by the Lord. And it's a pleasure to see that expectation in your faces. When we experience the arrival and the distance which he mentioned that lies between the various cities, we asked about the brethren. Oh, they live 180 miles to the north, and well, how about brother and sister so-and-so? Oh, they live to the east. They're in your class, yes, they're 200 miles to the east, and those kinds of numbers. Two things came to mind. One was our own ecclesia in Portland, Oregon, and on Sunday, our class, the northern boundary of our class, is about 2 hours away, and the one sister starts from 2 hours to the north and comes down, picks up some brethren on the way. Then we have a carload of three that comes from the east. They come an hour and a half, and then from the south another sister and brother come an hour. So I could identify a little bit with the distances. I also thought of the Church of Galatia. You know, Galatia wasn't a city. It was a territory. I expect it was something like northern Saskatchewan. And so when the apostle went to Galatia, when he wrote to Galatia, it wasn't to a little compact group of Bible students. It was to some saints that were scattered. And in the days of the early church, that condition existed, and in these last days it also exists. I want to especially bring the love and greetings of my parents, Ray and Vernie Krupa, and my grandmother, Sister Seal, and of course all the other brethren in Portland. We had a convention last weekend, and that entire convention voted to send their greetings to you. Our lesson this morning is entitled The Psychology of Sheep. I know my cows, and my cows know me. I am the good cowboy. I send you out like cows among wolves. Now that didn't sound right, did it? That didn't sound right at all. As a matter of fact, that was almost offensive. Let's try another one. How about camel? I know my camels, and my camels know me. I am the good camel rider. Not very good, was it? How about this one? I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I send you out like sheep among wolves. Now that's better. That's better not just because it's known to us and familiar, but because we do understand a little bit the characteristics of sheep. Sheep are distinct. They are not like goats or cows or dogs. And even though there are differences between different breeds of sheep and individual differences, sheep still have traits, behaviors, feelings, attributes, actions that make them an excellent illustration of the collective Christian mind. So our lesson this morning is about sheep. The scriptures give us incredible insights into our feelings, both individually and as a group, to our feelings, our actions, our behavior, from the traits of these four-legged animals. Now, why do we say the psychology of sheep? Well, despite the fact that that word is sometimes not appreciated, psychology simply means the study of how the mind works. And that's what we're interested in. This arena of the mind is where the Christian lives. This is where he makes his decisions, he fellowships, he loves, he communicates in the mind. We have mortal bodies, but our life and death as a Christian is in our minds. So it's in this aspect that the sheep have a lesson for us. We're not interested in their physical attributes, their height, their weight, the wool production. That's not what's of interest to us. What's of interest is the behavior, the mind, the attitude of sheep. We're interested in this psychology of sheep. Now suppose a man has 100 sheep. If one of them strays, doesn't he leave the other 99 on the hillside and go in search of the one that has strayed? That's Matthew 12:18. And that scripture continues and says, "And if he should find it, I tell you this, he is more delighted over that sheep that was lost than over the 99 that never strayed." You see, sheep are special. Sheep are worthwhile. And in the same way, the scripture continues, it is not your heavenly Father's will that any little ones should be lost. Verse 10 says in this 18th chapter, never despise one of these little ones. So, Jesus went round all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, announcing the good news of the kingdom, and curing every kind of ailment and disease. The sight of the people moved him to pity. He said, they were like sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. That was Matthew 9:36. And then in Matthew 10:5, Jesus sent out the 12 with the following instructions. Do not take the road to Gentile lands. Do not enter any Samaritan town, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then, of course, there's the 10th chapter of John, verse 11, where our Lord said, John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my own sheep, and my sheep know me. There will be one flock and one shepherd. So judging from the frequency of use, Jesus liked sheep. Now, I recently read an article by a professor from the University of Wyoming who studied sheep for many years. And as he listed the the different characteristics of the sheep, I was struck by the spiritual lessons contained in that illustration. Let me first quickly read this list. And I summarized his article into 10 items, 10 characteristics of the sheep, and then let us go back and discuss each one of them from a spiritual perspective. Here's the list of 10 items, the characteristics of the sheep. Number one, you cannot make sheep do something contrary to their nature. Number two, sheep are not sheepish. Three, perhaps sheep's most manifest instinct is to flock. Four, connected with this flocking tendency, it is sheep's propensity to follow other sheep. Five, sheep are instinctively fearful. Six, flocks seek light and high ground. Seven, aggressiveness is an important facet of sheep behavior. The combativeness of rams is notorious. Eight, sheep are very conservative, content with the familiar, and resistant to change. Number nine, sheep welcome the presence of the shepherd, especially during the birthing process. 10, sheep are not very intelligent in the human sense, but they are quick learners with good memories. Now that's the list from the professor from Wyoming. Let's discuss them from a spiritual perspective. Number one, you cannot make sheep do something contrary to their nature. Now, in a Christian sense, this has a positive aspect, but it also has a negative aspect. Contrary to our nature. What does this mean? We have two natures residing in us. We have the flesh and we have the spirit. One is to be suppressed. The other is to be developed, cultured. Galatians 5:17 describes this battle. The apostle says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit." And the apostle said it in Romans 7, this same battle, Romans 7:23, reading from the New English Translation, Paul says, "I discover this principle then, that when I want to do right, only wrong is within my reach. In my inmost self, I delight in the law of God. But I perceive there is in my bodily members a different law, fighting against the law that my reason approves." The two natures are within us, but the commandment is to the spiritual life. The sheep are to be as spiritual as possible. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:13, mortify the deeds of the flesh. In this life, we will always be strapped, we will always be burdened with the old nature. But we must mortify it. And as far as the things of the Spirit go, we must accept them, strive for them, embrace them. That means with our time, our energy, our thoughts, even our dollars. And just as assuredly, the new nature can be ingrained in our behavior. This new nature, by the power of God, will stay. It's one of the tendencies of sheep to stay in their nature. And if we make sure that it's the new nature, we can keep ourselves in the love of God. Jude 21. No one will be able to make us do something contrary to that spirit nature. The world won't be able to do it. Our flesh won't be able to do it. Not even the devil. Philippians 1:6. Because he which has begun a good work in you will finish it. So that unchangeableness of the sheep can work to our advantage if we put spiritual priorities first. Number two, sheep are not sheepish. Now the dictionary defines sheepish as embarrassed or bashful, as by having done something wrong or foolish. The professor said, sheep don't even act sheepish. He said they either stand and look you straight in the eye, or they'll turn around and run. And he said he has a dog, he said, that acts sheepish all the time. The dog will do something wrong, and the dog will put its head down and the tail between its legs. That's acting sheepish. Sheep don't act that way. And we're not sheepish either. We're not embarrassed that we're Christians. We're not bashful as by having done something wrong. Now, if we lived in our own strength, then we would have much to be embarrassed about. But our strength is in the Lord. Romans 8:34. Christ makes intercession for us. Romans 4:8 tells us that our sins are no longer imputed. So we stand straight, not in our own merit, but as it says in Romans 5:9, because we're justified, made righteous by our Lord's sacrifice. We're not bashful either. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us we are ready at any time to give a quiet and reverent answer to any man who wants a reason for the hope that we have within us. We're not ashamed of his name. To be bashful means to be ashamed. Romans 1:16 says, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about the workmen who need not be ashamed. So in this second characteristic, like the natural sheep, as Christians, we are in no way sheepish. Number three. Perhaps sheep's most manifest instinct is to flock. With the exception of a few breeds that live in the high mountains, sheep are gregarious. That means they like to be together. Most animals, if they are left to roam free, will usually wander off from each other. Not sheep. And this is good because they lack many of the natural defenses that other animals have. They don't have speed. They don't have personal protection like a porcupine might have. The protection of the flock comes from being together, and it comes from all their hooves that, in case a predator comes, will stomp on the predator. Now, to flock means to be in company together. It means to be a group. It means togetherness. Comrades, brethren, associates. To flock means to stick together, to huddle, to be close, to be touching, to be bumping, to be rubbing. That's what a flock does. So with the Christian sheep, we assemble, we congregate, we meet, we gather, we convention. There are a lot of scriptures that speak of this togetherness, this flocking. We heard one already quoted by Brother Adam. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith. We might say easily, one flock. Philippians 4:2. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Colossians 2:2. That your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. 1 Peter 3:8. Be all of one mind. 2 Corinthians 3:11. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Perhaps the most manifest instinct of sheep is to flock. You know, sometimes the Bible students don't look like they like to flock together. But I think it is a characteristic of the true sheep that they desire to be one flock. No qualifications, no reservations, no ifs, ands, or buts. The most manifest instinct of the sheep is to flock together. The flocking of the Bible students is its defense. Break down the Bible student flock into smaller and smaller sub-flocks, and then the predators can come in with greater ease, penetrate, and make their destruction. Number four is the propensity to follow other sheep. Sheep like to follow other sheep. Now, this can be a problem. The safest one to follow is the shepherd. There are several reasons. One of them is Acts 20:29. And this speaks of wolves coming into the flock. Grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Then there's another predator that's even worse than just the plain wolf, and that's the wolf who camouflages himself in, of all things, sheep's clothing. Matthew 7:15, the warning from our Lord. But they are false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, our Lord said, they are ravening wolves. I think it would be naive to think that these words of our Lord only applied in his day, or only applied after the apostles died, or only applied after Brother Russell's death. We must still heed the warning of false prophets. All our efforts as sheep need to be focused on the shepherd. Now, undoubtedly, we get help from fellow sheep, but the last word has to be that of the shepherd. And one of the things that all the leaders of the church have emphasized, our fellow sheep, including our brother Paul and including Brother Russell, was that we not follow them but orient ourselves to the Good Shepherd. So this sheep characteristic is a reality, this tendency to follow other sheep. But this must be done with caution. And the Lord has made it very clear as to how few leaders the church has actually had. Number five, sheep are instinctively fearful. They are afraid of the unknown. They are afraid of darkness. They are afraid of strange pastures. They are afraid of strange buildings. Now, in some respects, that's good. We do not want to wander off into strange pastures. We know what pastures have been marked for us. We appreciate those pastures, and that's where we belong. Some of the scriptures are of great encouragement to us fearful sheep. There's one that speaks of fear and sheep together. This is Luke 12:32. It says, directly to this flock of which we speak, it says, "Fear not, my little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." 2 Kings 6:16. "Fear not, for they that be with us are much more than they that be with them." Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with thee. I am thy God. I'll strengthen thee, help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand." Matthew 10:31. "Fear not, for you are of more value than many sparrows." Revelation 1:17. "And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." So this spiritual flock, even though we're fearful by our old nature, need not fear at all as we remain in the Lord. The sixth item on the list was, flocks seek light and high ground. This needs virtually no explanation. They say that actually walking uphill is easiest direction for a hoofed animal to walk. They get a good view from uphill to spot approaching danger. And we like this expression of seeking light and high ground. Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world." This is the light that we seek. 1 John 1:7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another." And this higher ground that we seek, this is the highest ground. It's highest, as in Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest." The highest ground we seek is the hope of the high calling. Our flock certainly does seek light and high ground. Now, number 7 was a surprise to me as I read through this article. The professor said, aggressiveness is an important facet of sheep behavior. He said, the combativeness of rams is notorious. I was surprised. I pictured sheep as being passive. You know, the sheep lying down in green pastures. But that's not what people say who raise sheep. They say, especially as far as the rams go, don't ever turn your back on a ram. They just love to come and butt people in the back. They say that no wise person ever works around rams without keeping an eye behind them as to where the rams are. The butting among rams, and they'll do it together, they'll just knock heads together, seems to be a ceremony. It seems to be an attempt to establish social rank. And they say that it is also viewed, this same type of behavior, amongst the female sheep. Why do they do this butting? Well, they do it to get food. They do it to get out of gates. They'll butt down a gate. They'll do it to settle their differences. And some shepherds say they do it just to get attention. So aggressiveness is a reality when it comes to sheep. I was still surprised, though, because sheep are quiet when they're being sheared. And we know that our Lord, as a perfect example, was silent as he was led to the slaughter. But there is an aggressiveness in sheep. And perhaps this is what gives the illustration of sheep such honesty, such candidness and clear-sightedness. We know that this is a reality amongst the flock. It's part of the old nature that we inherit. It's not to be carried through to the new nature. Our aggressiveness or that kind of energy is to be channeled toward improving ourselves, working zealously for the Lord, not in butting heads with each other. But I think one of the other lessons of this sheep lesson is that we're not to be surprised or discouraged or upset when we see this aggressiveness manifest itself from time to time. It's something like divisions. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, the apostle urges us that we have no divisions. Yet we have them. And the apostle explains this then a little further in 1 Corinthians 11:19. He says, there must be factions or divisions among you, so that they which are approved may be made manifest. In other words, so that they which are going to be successful, they that are going to make their election sure, may be made manifest. Now, the apostle did not approve of the butting of heads. But to use his same words and paraphrasing, but there must also be the butting of heads among you. Why? That they which are approved may be made manifest. You see, amidst all the butting of heads, some will show the Lord's Spirit. And some will improve. Some will forgive. Some will apologize. And some will learn to butt less. All these things to see how we react to these tests. Will I have the right heart attitude? Will I grow? Will I manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit? This inheritance that we have of the old nature, this desire to butt heads, and some of us have more of that old nature than others. We can't use that old nature as an excuse. Jesus said in Matthew 18:7 a very powerful statement. Matthew 18:7. He said, there will be problems. He said, it must be that these offenses come. That's for the testings, etc. But then he said, woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. Let's put that into sheep talk. There must be buddings. There must be the budding of heads. But woe to the man by whom the buddings come. We can't go around and butt heads and then say, well, that's the nature of sheep. And at the same time, though, when we see that kind of behavior, we needn't be stumbled or upset. Number 8, if sheep were people, they would vote straight conservative. They're very content with the familiar and resistant to change. Now, again, this is similar to one of the earlier points. It has advantages and disadvantages. As far as not changing, that's how we feel about the truth. That's how we feel about the gospel. Hebrews 10:23, hold fast to the profession of our faith. Hebrews 3:6, hold fast to our confidence. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, hold fast to that which is good. That includes the doctrine which we have received. No need for advancing into different pastures. But at the same time, as far as our character, we need growth and we need fruitage. John 15. Studying would be a rather useless exercise if we weren't to learn something from the studying. If we weren't to grow, if we weren't to have some new ideas or new understanding, a better understanding. And we certainly must change our characters. Number 9 refers to the sheep being closest to the shepherd, especially during the birthing process. That's a good thought. The church is now going through, we might say, the birthing process. We are all embryo new creatures. We have all the pains associated with that kind of development. And the female sheep tolerate the presence of the shepherd the most when they are in the pain of labor. And that's like us. You know, sometimes we act like we don't even need the shepherd. But boy, give us a little bit of pain, and that brings us right back to where we should be. It reminds us of the transient nature. Pain does. Reminds us of the passing nature of this world's life and its values. Pain brings us right back to the shepherd, where we belong. Now, number 10 had to do with learning. The professor said, sheep are not intelligent in the human sense. Now, that was a little disappointing to hear. But he said they are quick learners and they have good memory. In other words, they're not brilliant or brainy, but they can learn a lesson. He gave this example. He said, one winter day, his flock ran out of the barn, and as they ran down the path to the feeding trough, there was a portion of water that had frozen, a small little area. Well, all the sheep fell down as they were running and went sprawling across the ice. So the next day when he let the sheep out, they came running down the path, and when they got to the ice, they all slowed down, walked very carefully across the ice, and then started to run again. See, so sheep can learn a lesson. And he said they continued to do that for many days afterwards. As a matter of fact, they continued to do it long after the ice had melted. They would still come to a stop even though the ice was gone. So you see, they could learn a lesson, but at the same time, they weren't exactly brilliant. And that's us. We have not been picked for our brains. We've been picked for our heart affections. As far as IQ go, amongst our flock, we're just about average. There aren't many wise sheep. There aren't many noble sheep. Not according to the world's wisdom. And again, in this area, sometimes the sheep get an inflated viewpoint of their own intelligence. They start to think that we got the insight to the scriptures by ourselves. Not true. It's a gift of God. Our job again is to follow the shepherd. That's what we can be good at. This lesson of the sheep is a simple lesson. But don't be fooled by its simplicity. It contains the principles of life and death. It shows us the difference between the wise and the foolish. I think it shows us the difference between the church and the great company. It shows us the difference between the overcomers, the just barely overcomers, and the more than overcomers. I guess my favorite aspect of these sheep is that It is their nature to flock. And the fact that they naturally seek higher ground. There are other lessons that I appreciate also. I want to more diligently listen and follow the shepherd. I want to be content with the pastures that he leads me to. And I've also learned some lessons about things I need to suppress in my own nature, my old nature, and some things not to be surprised at. But all in all, I think that sheep must have a special place in God's heart too, because his son was called the Lamb of God. So what an opportunity, what a privilege we have of achieving a position in this most special group. It will be worth all the effort, the struggle, the change, the control, the refusal to use the world's methods. It will be worth all the transformation to be part of that little flock. And I hope that this lesson this morning has encouraged you to keep in mind our Lord's lessons regarding the sheep. May the Lord add his blessings.